How many, if I show of hands, know who that was on the screen? Oh, we're good. We're good. For those who don't, that was a man by the name of Red Skelton. He was a comedian. It's very interesting because Red Skelton said this. He said, if a comedian has to get up and tell dirty jokes and use foul language and poke fun at people, he's not a comedian at all. Had a great show, and when I was a boy, Red Skelton, the show was on Tuesday nights, and I was in front of the television. By the way, it was black and white, all right? Some of you don't even know what a black and white television is, but I always made it to watch that, and one night, I watched as he did this segment on the pledge, and it hit something in my heart, and there was a great deal of pride because the way he took the pledge of allegiance to our flag and to this nation, and the way he took and broke that down, I thought, wow, this is special. And by the way, at that time in school, we said the pledge every day. In public school, and not only did we say the pledge every day, following the pledge, we had prayer every class. So it's just an important thing for us to remember where our pledge comes from a little bit and what it stands for. I'm going to be talking today, if you have your Bibles and you want to take a look, I'm going to be talking from Psalm 80. And as we think about Independence Day, we think about the 4th of July. By the way, do they have 4th of July in London or in England?
No.
Yes, they do. They just don't celebrate it. All right. I was hoping that one would work. That's right. Ooh, I love it when a plan just kind of... Now I got to get back to the message. Okay. But as we look at Psalm 80, we're gonna learn a lot about the nation of Israel in comparison to us and parallel some things. I'm convinced, I am totally convinced that this nation, this country we live in, that is so blessed by God, that where we live, folks, it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We have more freedom, more rights, more things going on for us than any other nation. And we don't always celebrate that. This nation, born July 4th, 1776, in Philadelphia, must be born again, or it's going to perish. Perhaps someday a historian will write the rise and fall of the American Empire. And I want to tell you something. The nation Israel, as we jump back and think about this, and we'll be getting into our passage in a minute, the nation Israel had a history much like the history of America. It was a glorious heritage that they had. Israel was a wonder of the world at her time. Israel, like America, broke the chains of bondage from another nation. You see some parallels there. Israel was enslaved in Egypt, and they broke that bondage. And the U.S. And how we were established was the people coming over seeking new freedom. Then Israel became a nation that was so glorious and wonderful that all the nations of the world were astounded by what God had done for her. But something happened. Something happened in Israel. They forgot God. They forgot God. And the judgment of God came, followed by national calamity. This is the history of Israel. If you have your Bibles, open them to Psalm 80. I'm going to begin to read with verse 1.
And it says this, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." Folks, I need to tell you something. We need a miracle in America. And if you today are sitting here and you're trusting our armaments, then you're foolish. In biblical times, some trusted their horses and chariots and swords, and great nations fell. We must trust in the name of our Lord, in the name of God. If we trust in our alliances with Saudi Arabia, with Egypt or Europe or the Soviets or even Israel, folks, we're just leaning on a broken reed. We need a miracle for America. Some things I want you to see as we look at this psalm today. And first is how God blessed the nation of Israel. And then I want to make some application and show you a parallel between Israel and America. Now, I know the psalm that we're reading is, it doesn't say the name America. It's not listed specifically to America. But there are parallels. And the discerning eye can see, and a ready eye can apply these things. First of all, we understand Israel was divinely planted. Psalm 80, verse 8 says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt," talking about Israel. "You drove out the nations and planted it." God's vine was the nation Israel that he's bringing out. And God gave Israel the land of Canaan. Correspondingly, I believe that America was divinely planted. The American dream was placed in the hearts of the founding fathers by God himself. No other nation had such a Christian beginning as the United States of America. No other nation. Most of our original 13 colonies were founded on the Christian faith. Pilgrims who came to our shores in 1620 were seeking religious freedom to preach the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior. There's a little thing called the Mayflower Compact, and this is history 101, very quick. And by the way, I was with Dana yesterday, and she's a history major, and she got her degree this spring, and she knows all of this stuff. And so I was running things by her, and she's listening very carefully to every word I say so that after the service she'll tell me how wrong I was. And she'll probably be right. Mayflower Compact, though, was written beneath the decks of a ship. And what they did is they bowed in prayer and they wrote out this solemn agreement that was called the Mayflower Compact. And it started like this: "In the name of God, amen." And then it expressed purpose: "For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." That's why they came to these shores. That's why they arrived, and that's what it was all about, for the advancement of the Christian faith. There was a discussion took place between statesmen, North American statesmen and South American statesmen, and the South American statesmen said this. They said, "Those who came to our shores came seeking gold." The North American statesmen said, "Those who came to our shores came seeking God." I believe wholeheartedly that our government was rooted in a belief in Almighty God. I mentioned America was born in 1776, and it began this way, with this Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident. They didn't quiver or stammer or argue or hesitate. This is self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. In that sentence, you can see that they believe that man was a creation of God, that they didn't believe in evolution. And they believed in a God who created man, and they believed in a system of absolute morals and certain inalienable rights. There were no ifs, ands, or buts. These are what we believe in. There was a fixed standard that was being set. The great leaders at that time, for the most part, they were men of faith. Of the 55 who signed the Declaration of Independence, 50 of them had confessed to be Christians. George Washington, a devout man whose army triumphed only because of God's miracles. George was once asked, or a man was once asked who George Washington was, and the answer came back like this. It was, George Washington is the tall, red-headed man who gets down on his knees when Congress stops to pray. Congress stops to pray. And George Washington gets on his knees. President-elect Lincoln said this, "I leave now, not knowing when or whether ever I shall return, with a task before me greater than that which rested on the shoulders of Washington." And then he said, "Without the assistance of the divine being, I cannot succeed. But with that assistance, I cannot fail." He believed in God. You know what? Today we have revisionists, humanists, secularists, and atheists, and any other ist you want to put together. And they like to extract all belief in God from our American way of life. They like to take the Ten Commandments off courthouse lawns. They like to strip things out of the schools and strip things out of public venues that might have reference to God. But they can't really finish it all because it is woven in the American fabric. Prior to the writing of the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, these words were spoken. "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us as a nation." The power that has made and preserved us as a nation. "Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust." This is a nation, folks, that was born in the fires of revival. Our national hymn simply says, "Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." Wow. America does have a king. Great God is our King. You let humanists come along, revisionists of history, atheists, secularists, and they tell you that we have no right to speak of God in America or put the principles of God in our government. And folks, I'm going to tell you, they're wrong. America believes in the separation of church and state. By the way, it's not quite written that way in the Constitution. That's been distorted and drawn out, and that's for another day and another discussion. But the idea of the separation of church and state is not what people pretend it to be. But not for a moment Do they believe that there should be a separation of government from God? Israel was divinely planted. Secondly, Israel was divinely protected. Psalm 80, verse 9. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. God drove out their enemies. God gave them the land. Israel was divinely planted, but it was divinely protected. And so it has been with America. God has blessed America. And compared to any nation, it is amazing. God's been so gracious to us. One incident during the War of 1812. Dana, let's see if you knew this one. I love her. She's my daughter, and I love to tease her a little bit. And she usually gets the upper hand on me. War of 1812. The British had run our army out of Washington. And they started burning the city. There was a great hurricane came off the coast. It came in off the coast. And more British soldiers died from the storm, from that hurricane, than from the U.S. Army. And they retreated. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Divinely planted, divinely protected, and divinely prospered. Psalm 80, moving on, verse 10 and 11. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Her prophets taught honest work, the right of ownership, of personal property. And guess what? Israel prospered. The vine that brought forth fruit produced it. How America has prospered as a nation. We are blessed from sea to shining sea. That was God's design for Israel. But there was a national danger. What was Israel's danger? Look at verse 12. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Here's a vineyard. Could have talked about Israel being the vine that God brought out. This vine was divinely planted. It was protected and it prospered. But now God moves the hedge. The hedge was around the vineyard, and now the hedge was broke down, and anybody could pluck its fruit. Why? Because they forgot God. We can see that in this passage. External danger coming in, and then the internal danger, not believing. Verse 13. Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. You know, a hog is not content with the fruit, but it roots out the vine. External danger from enemies, internal danger from corruption. Folks, the truth is, we can handle enemies like Iraq and Iran and North Korea, even the extremists like bin Laden. But America has become immoral. America has become corrupt. We've had more opportunities and more blessings. We've had more preaching and more gospel than any other nation. Yet we need more policemen per capita community because there is more crime. The vilest of entertainment exists, including the things they show on television. You pick up any paper and you read a paper and see what is the norm. See what is accepted. And the things that are accepted today at the time this nation was established would have been blasphemy and heresy, and it would have never been allowed. But we as a nation and we as a people have become desensitized to the things that God established and the things that this nation was founded on. Israel cries out, "Return us, O Lord, or return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine the root of your hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish." Here was a vine planted, protected, and had prospered, now cut down and burned. Enemies around, enemies within, but the great enemy, folks, was above. Because the greatest danger the nation faced is from God. The fire of God's judgment. God loves us, and I don't want to take that away. But we don't need to pretend that he won't judge our nation if we walk away from him. And we have no right to believe that God will let this nation endure unless we see a national revival and see things change. It's a knee time in America, folks. And we need to be on our knees before God, and we need to be praying. And as Americans, we need to be praying for the nation that there would be a repentance, because more and more and more we see where God is being taken away and where people are not accepting him. So what do you recommend, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Is there hope for America? Yeah. I believe there is. I believe that there's this gracious national deliverance that God wants to pour out on America. But it's going to take a people who are willing to stand up and to stand for godly values and to stand for what is right, not as the world defines right, but as God defines right. It's going to take mothers and fathers being the parents that God called them to be and raising their children the way God wanted them to raise their children. It's going to be husbands loving wives and wives loving husbands and neighbors learning how to embrace and care for one another. It's going to come when people are willing to stand up and say to those politicians that are pushing wrong values and wrong teachings that we're not going to accept it anymore. Listen, I'm not giving a political speech today. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm not telling you who not to vote for. But what I will tell you is this, is when it comes time to vote, take a look at things as God might look at it. Let that help you in that decision that you make. It's going to take people standing up that way for America to find revival. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down and is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. That was the prayer of the patriot. Had three elements. Here is the vine, that special branch. The branch is a man. You know his name? Believe it is Jesus. And there must be the coming of Jesus again to this earth. You know what revival is? Revival, folks, is the smile of God. It's the smile of God. And when revival occurs, you feel it in here. There must be a coming of Jesus again to this earth. No one can save us. Not George Bush, he couldn't do it. McCain couldn't do it. Obama. I promise to not be political, but we'll just leave that name dropped. Because if you believe he can do it, we need to talk. And folks, it really isn't my business who you vote for, but it is God's business. And you need to drop to your knees and you need to ask for guidance. And then we need to stand up for what is right. And some people say, oh, I'm just one, or we're just a few, or we're just this church or this state, and we don't have enough to do it. You know what? Fidel Castro took a nation with 80 people. Lenin started the great movement there with a few thousand people. Jesus started with 12. And how it spread. We can make a difference. And we do make a difference. America's in trouble. And it needs what the world needs. Every soul needs the same thing. It needs an alliance with the Almighty. A league with the Lord. It needs to be a part of the Prince of Peace. And we need to have a peace conference with him. As I was working on this just a few days ago, I looked at a verse in the Bible and I realized how sad it was. And I thought, I want to share that with you today. Remember, our hope in America is for the future in God. Israel didn't hear the message. Israel didn't believe. Israel didn't do what they were supposed to. And the nation was destroyed. But in Jeremiah, I think it's the saddest verse in the Bible. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. My prayer is that would never be the case in this country. I believe in America. I celebrate her independence. And I believe in God who has the authority to once again raise this nation up. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you planted a nation so many years ago. Through the hearts of man, you guided and you directed and you built up a nation that was a nation under God. And Father, when we say our pledge and we say one nation under God, I pray that we would not take that lightly, that we would not faint away from it, or even as we would say that pledge, that we wouldn't drop our voices low when we say under God. But that we would proudly proclaim that this is a nation that you planted, a nation that you protected, a nation that you provided for, and a nation that you love and want to continue to provide for. And Father, I pray that we, as your children, would stand up, that we would speak your love and we would speak your truth and we would move to see that your ways are alive and taught in this country. Father, I thank you for those gathered here today. Pour your blessings out upon them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.